Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Hey, 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 what's going on? Welcome to Knife Talk. This is a podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers. You got questions, we got answers. You got dilemmas, we're going to laugh at them or something. You know, maybe we'll just like read them off and try to ponder. But we're here for you, all jokes aside. I'm Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. Here with me is Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. And Mareko Momasi might be at the Super Bowl for all we know. So who knows? He's down in New Orleans. He's got an event. We're sending our best regards. Hope he is having a good time. Look forward to seeing him next week. It's just you and me, my guy.
Just the two of us.
That's it. No problem. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Tired. I've been back to the UK and back again since speaking last week
for a
show on the weekend. So I flew Saturday afternoon and back first thing Monday morning. So super in and out fast. But good. I've actually been in the shop this week as well, doing a few bits.
Nice.
Finding that things are broken and having to make do and all the rest of it. But I've been an official member of the Right Angle Grinder community this week. Sorry, go on.
I just am saluting you.
All right, okay.
I'm saluting you from welcome back with open arms.
Yeah. I had some time and I was like, right, let's get in there. You set everything up and I had my little metal bandsaw and I'd drawn out these templates and I was cutting them out. Snap blade. It's like, I got spares, I'm sure. I've got spares. No spares. I was like, but you know when you're just like, I just got to carry on because I don't have much time anyway. So out it comes, the right angle grinder. Fuck me, horrible.
The scourge of all tools. It is legitimately, it's like the Sisyphus of tools.
Yeah.
Because you know, Sisyphus is the guy who's rolling the rock up the hill and then rolls back down. This is there is no better bang for your buck.
It's the syphilis of tools, I'd find.
Okay, it's the syphilis of tools. But it's like, it's legitimately, it is like completely 100% the one tool that's the best bargain and the worst decision you'll ever make. I hated them from day one. But the same is like, you can get so much done with one, but it's like at a cost.
Yeah.
At a cost, the smell. I had a boss who used to refer to the smell of the cutoff wheels as cat urine, cat piss. He's like, I hate those cutoff wheels.
Yeah.
Because it smells like cat piss. And I was just like, oh, God, why did you even bring that up? I just didn't even want to hear it.
Yeah, I can see that.
God. There's nothing better or worse than a right angle grinder. It's legitimately, it's a cursed tool. Fucking cursed.
So there was that. What else has been going on? At our show that we played on the weekend.
Right.
Do you remember the Fun Loving Criminals?
Is that a band?
They were, New York band. They were big in the UK, but I know he lives over here now, so I think, I don't know where they were big.
What
in
were
the
they
US.
Known for? Is there a song they're known for?
A song called Scooby Snacks and Stick 'em Up Punk is the Fun Loving Criminals.
Stick 'em Up Punk. I love that. That is New York Criminals. Very good.
So, anyway, Huey Morgan, who was like the guy the band was based around, basically, he was at the show, and he invited us to come and support him as well at a big arena show in May. So that's good.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, he really liked the show and said, you know, come and play with me. So yeah, so we were happy with that. And he's like a big DJ over here on BBC Radio, on Radio 6, which is like the indie kid station, all the new music kind of thing, you know. So that was good news for us. So that's happening in May, and it's been good. It's been good.
You're keeping the ball in the air.
Just about. Yes.
You got to feel good about it. This has been like, I mean, let's just think back. And when you first started, when you did your first solo album and stuff like that, we were talking, what, 4 years ago, maybe three years.
And yes.
Think about how far you've come in 3 years. It's pretty exciting.
Well, the band's been 18 months now. So yeah.
But, I see that all. I see you being in the music game as one long strip, not different. I just think it's great. Mm. I mean, I think what you've been able to do has been really quite amazing, and not a lot of people get to do it. So, God bless you.
Yeah. Well, thanks to my wife for indulging me and allowing me to do it. To be honest with you, but it's been a good week. And it feels as if spring is coming. We've got blue skies. It's cold still, but there's blue skies, and you just get that little sort of whisperings of, it's around the corner. It's around the corner. So, yeah, it's like a positive vibes this week. It's good.
Please, I beg of you, I hope you're right, because it just snowed, and we're about to get dumped on Tuesday. So it's like, and it's such a – where I live, to get to my shop, there's this one hill that is like – it's like there should be a chairlift. I mean, it's just insane. And when it snows, it's a disaster. So it's a question of, like, you can get up to the hill, but then once you get to the hill, you know, it's a question of whether or not you're going to get up it or not. So that sucks.
That sucks. Well, hopefully it's on the change everywhere. Be good.
I could use a change. Mm. I'm this week has been a week where I was on the phone with Allison, just in terms of just all the things, all the little loose ends we have going on. And my old boss at the fabrication shop, when he had money, he called it money in the streets. That means like you have all these bids out, and you have all this, and you have all this stuff out, and you're just kind of like, you know, all these like loose ends that are tied up. And I have like, we have all this money in the streets, and it's driving me crazy. We have customers who are like, have hemming and hawing about what they want to do and what they want to get, and you know, and then they're like, they're very fast to send me emails, and then they're not fast to respond. I got people who send me these texts, these emergency texts, and then they put their phone on silent mode after they send the text, and then they're nowhere to be found for 24 hours. It's just like, you know, it's totally nonstop, but
I hate that feeling when you've got stuff out there and you're waiting for responses on things. I hate it.
Money in the streets is no good. Money in the streets sucks. And it's just like, we have so many different things we're doing. We just made more knives for one of the collaborations. We're getting ready to do another collaboration. Then we sent another set of knives down for another collaboration. Then we're waiting, and that they wanted it for Valentine's Day, which is this week. When this comes out, Valentine's Day is on Friday. This comes out on Monday. So I had it like 3 weeks before Valentine's Day, thinking that they were going to promote it for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
No, they're going to promote it on Valentine's Day, which in my mind, I want to be like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, there's no, for Arbor Day? Are we going to go for Arbor Day? I mean, I don't know. It's like, the worst part is I'm really good at deadlines. Really good at deadlines. Like, I'll come ahead of time. You know, when you even send the links here, I'm here 15 minutes before.
Yeah.
I'm fucking good on a timeline. I'm not good when things are out of my hands. I vibrate. I vibrate and like and like just seethe. And it could be the smallest thing. But I'm really like, when things are out of my control, I just don't understand. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm the same. Hate it. Aside from that, how are things? All good?
Things are weird. We're in a weird state right now, and between my wife's, between what's going on with my wife's job and what's going on with my mother and all this stuff. It's just like there's, it seems as though when some fire is put out, then we get to stress about something else. So it's like, it's like this kind of rotating stress situation. So, but other than that, I wish I got a message from the Michael J. Fox Foundation about whether or not I'm on the team for the New York City Marathon or not. I'm like every morning, I'm just checking to see if I'm on it or not. And I'd love to hear about that. So we're just, you know, we're moving our ass.
It's another stress waiting for things.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. If it happens, I'm going to be psyched and it's going to be a shit ton of work. But if it doesn't happen, look, what are you going to do? You can only control what you can control.
Yeah, so. Out of your control. Exactly. Exactly. Right. So what we got going on today?
Oh,
let's have a look.
We have great questions from our listeners. If you go follow us on Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, you can interact with the show. We had great listener feedback. Thanks to you, we have a number of people sending in their pranks. Last week, we were talking about pranks. So some of our listeners sent in pranks that they had. And then we also have birthday wishes. So it's like, it's unbelievable. I'm so happy. I can't, I mean, where do we even begin?
Okay, we've done weather. We're doing birthday wishes.
Oh, we have done weather. We did weather. Traffic too. The fucking roads suck. Have mercy.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Okay, then, before we get on with questions.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
Go and do it now. Evenheat-kiln.com. And I've been eyeing up those tempering ovens this week.
Oh, baby.
Pretty nice. A nice stack would be lovely. You know, the one on top of the other.
Having two makes you a little bit more efficient in regards to being able to heat treat and temper in batches. You know, so it's like, you know, that temper oven looks dynamite.
It does. Looks cool. Looks cool. Actually, before we've got questions, we've got knife news.
Oh, yeah. We have a ton of stuff to talk about, and
we've got loads.
I forgot about this.
Yes.
So our great listener, Michael Bergfalk, he's an awesome dude, knife maker and tattooist, really talented tattooist, sent us this message. He says, I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, and it is, you know, we can discuss it however you want to discuss it, but I guess Idris Elba, stud of studs, Idris Elba, right? He's got a documentary out. And the documentary out is, or it's coming out, the article is with a blunt kitchen knife idea. Idris Elba is on point. So Idris Elba has doing this whole thing in regards to, as a documentary about knife crime in the United States. Not in the United States, in the UK.
Yeah.
And in the article, he says, the actor suggests that Britain's epidemic of street stabbings could be eased if only knives sold had their tips rounded off. But there's much more to be done. Idris Elba's spot on when this is opinion, but in his new documentary, he suggests that only kitchen knives that have their sharp tip rounded off can be sold legally. This might help reduce the number of knives on the streets, but the deeper issue remains. Knives can still be object sharpened and different tools used. Poverty often drives youth crime and violence, and these young people seek happiness and opportunities, but are often manipulated and groomed into gangs, which give them false sense of hope and lead them to sell drugs and carry knives for protection. Allocating more funding for initiatives that can help prevent young people from falling into crimes would do more good. So basically, I guess, and I heard a clip about this, where he says that he believes that if you rounded off knife tips, that would help on knife crime. Yeah, big time.
That's a simplistic way of looking at things, isn't it? I mean,
big time.
People, I mean, it's a social issue more than anything else.
Right.
And I think if we were to do that, let's say all kitchen knives had to be rounded off, they'd use something else.
Right.
I mean, people are using knives because they're readily available,
right,
and they're dangerous. But if a knife isn't available, something else is available. They'll be making chips. They'll whatever it takes.
Baseball bats, or are we not? You don't have to worry about baseball bats.
Anything
could
be. Anything could be. Well, there is. Yeah, I mean, anything could be dangerous in the wrong hands.
Right.
But it is a big issue. I mean, I've been in and out of London a fair bit recently, and you see them, the gangs, and they're all on these electric bikes, which they sort of pimp up so they go super fast, and they're all wearing balaclavas. And,
really.
They're everywhere. You see groups of them, and you know they're going so they're on the road, and as people are waiting to cross the road, because obviously London's a busy, busy city, everybody's on their phones, and they're grabbing phones, and they're just off they go, and it is a big, big issue, and it's just really visible. They're everywhere. But yeah, it's a social issue. I mean, if you were to round kitchen knives, as they'd use something else.
The stupid part about this. The stupid part is there's millions and millions of kitchen knives out in the world already.
Yeah.
So starting these new ones, it's not really solving the issue, like you said. You know, these are all these issues. They're not really solving their issues. Now, this brings me back. A number of months ago, we were talking about Jamie Oliver did a reel where he said, there's a big problem in the UK. People aren't cooking as much as they used to. Mm. And I just posed the question. I didn't make any kind of political issue.
Yes,
and all I wrote was, do you think not kitchen knives and knife crime has something to do with this? Not trying to be a troll, not trying to pick a fight, not trying to do anything. Mm. And I got fucking lambasted. To the point where I didn't even bother responding back. I just, anytime there was a click.
Lambasted.
Oh, I got fucking drilled. You never heard that expression before?
Lambasted, yeah.
Oh,
lambasted. I mean, you based your lamb, yeah.
I got my lambasted, dude. I got him, boy, basted. So, I mean, they were basting the lamb. They were fucking giving it to me. There you go, is your title, basting the lamb.
Basted the lamb.
So, I was surprised. At first, I was just like, okay, all right, okay, okay. And then over the weeks, I got more and more messages. And people were they were legitimately angry that I suggested it. People were losing their fucking minds to the point where I said, obviously, I'm onto something. Because if it really was insignificant, then it wouldn't have been an avalanche.
True, yeah.
It was an avalanche. And... Yeah. You know, there's obviously problems. I mean, I don't think Idris Elba's solution. I don't know if rounding off the tips of knives is going to do anything.
No.
You know, but at the same time, obviously you're right. Obviously there's some, you know, there's economic problems in this world where these kids can't get jobs. And something's going on with these, you know, the school system too. But we got the same problem in the United States. However, you know, I don't hear of kitchen knife crime.
You don't take a kitchen knife to a gunfight.
That's our forte. Not our forte. Kitchen knife violence is not our forte.
Yeah.
Our forte is other things.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, yeah. All right, so. Talking about Jamie Oliver, I've been listening to a podcast this week. Do you know Louis Theroux?
Yes.
Yeah, he's just done an interview with on his podcast with Jamie Oliver. And it's really interesting, actually, that... You know, because, you know, when he started, he sort of changed, certainly in the UK, changed, you know, cooking for men to cook, really, you know, because, it was all, you know, chef whites and all the rest of it. And he'd just come along and he's just, you know, casually cooking. Yeah. Exactly. And just casually. And he got lots of men cooking and all the rest of it. But he was saying, you know, growing up, you know, his heroes were all these chefs. But he said as soon as he sort of made it, everybody just had a go at it really badly. He said at one point he was on his honeymoon and he just made it and he had a TV deal, the rest of it, he had a book deal, and he literally just made it. He's on his honeymoon, opened up the paper.
Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Business double sprayed, a double page spread from Marco Pierre White saying how much he hated Jamie Oliver. And he said he was my hero. Can you imagine what a punch to the heart that would be, you know? Your heroes, you know, publicly saying how much they hate you.
Let me tell you something. I was going to bring up Marco Pierre White because now I find all he's got reels all over the place. Like, it's not him. People have him do these cooking videos.
Yeah.
And I understand what he's diametrically opposed to Jamie Oliver. Like, he, if you look at Marco Pierre White is also the chef for Gordon Ramsay. He's Gordon Ramsay's teacher. Gordon Ramsay basically tributes him to, you know, figuring out how to not to cry all the time and bone up and do your thing. But if you look at Marco Pierre White's recipes, it's always the most simple thing. It's all technique, but like his ingredients are like nothing, you know, he's talking about how you know, these exact measurements and the exact times and the exact techniques as opposed to a million different things. So I can see why Marco Pierre White, but Marco Pierre White he's an asshole.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
He's an asshole, Tommy.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same thing with Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, Jamie Oliver mentions him in the podcast as well, saying that, you know, he was publicly hated by Anthony Bourdain. And he said at one point he was at an event and Bourdain was there as well. And they're walking on the corridor towards each other. And he's like, oh, fuck, he's going to kick off here, you know. And in the end, Bourdain apologized to him and they hugged it out and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I got bigger problems. I got bigger problems with these guys shooting their mouth off and then apologizing afterwards because... Yeah. They're only shooting their mouths off to get people to listen, you know.
Yeah, frankly,
I find it to be. I remember when Jamie Oliver came out, and I never had a bad thing. I don't think I've ever really had a bad thing to say about anybody publicly, because I just, what's the point? What is the point of like making someone feel bad? The Marco Pierre, I have a bigger problem with like the Anthony Bourdain, who I loved, and you know he really was. That kind of like shooting your mouth off and then like apologizing later is just like,
it's lame.
However, I do remember I do have said some horrible things about people on this podcast, and they've reached out to me, and then I said thanks for being such a good sport. So I am the biggest. I'm just as big a piece of shit as they are. So I have totally done that. I'm like, fucking guy, and the guy sends me a message like, why'd you keel haul me on the show, and I'm just like, thanks. I was just fooling around. I was just radio bit.
You Bourdained them.
Yeah, I fucking lambasted them. So
okay, let's do questions. I'll take the first one from Jade Curtis.
Yeah.
If you've got a question for us, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. So yeah, DM them across. Or anything else that, you know, we have these various bits on the show. If you want to contribute in any way, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. And Jade Curtis has done exactly that same question. Can you take too many classes? And he's or from too many makers? That's interesting. From too many makers. That's the interesting part, I think.
It's a good question because, you know, well, what do you think?
Can you take too many classes? Probably not. If you learn it, it's always a good thing. But the second part of the question I find interesting, or from too many makers. I think a lot of ways people do things may contradict other makers.
Right.
So I think it could get confusing. And if you're there trying to find your own style and your own sort of way of doing things, that could be a good thing. Because you can take tips from all these various people and come up with your own super idea. Initially, I'm thinking, no, you couldn't take too many classes. But now I'm thinking, actually, possibly, maybe you could be second-doubting yourself, you know, where you could be thinking, okay, this works for me, but then you've got another maker telling you, no, you need to do it this way. And maybe too many taking courses with lots of different makers. I don't know. There's pluses and minuses to both.
I think the best part is I when I read this question, I thought of it, you can't. I don't think you can. I don't think there's such thing as too much education, but I do think you can be too easily influenced. And I say that because I think of a lot of classes when I was at the Center for Middle Arts back in the day and I was helping teach classes. I was the AT. I was helping. And I was watching how people were interacting with their teacher, especially like perfect examples of Uri Hoffe, who was very like he's a very distinctive style. And he'll teach you these recipes and then people take them over and then they do his style. And you can kind of see the fingerprint of, you know. The most important part is to take these classes and also to and realize your own style, especially as a knife maker, or blacksmith, or bladesmith. Because what happens is these guys say, this is the way, you know, so-and-so does it, and that's just the way I'm going to do it. That's a bigger problem. We had a class with one of my favorite blacksmiths, Fred Christ. And Fred Christ was teaching people this sculpture technique that he does, and that we were doing these little basically small versions of his sculptures. And he would say, I mean, it looked like, you know, we were doing his sculpture, you know, and he would say to us, just when you leave this class, don't start making my sculpture. You know, just don't do in this what I'm teaching you. And you're going to, this isn't your, I'm teaching you forging techniques, but you're going to end up making this nice little sculpture. But this is not your style. This is my style. And that was interesting. And then I think about when I took a class with Nick Anger, and this is a long time ago too. And I really went in there with a lot of experience behind me, but at the same time, I went in to know how he does it. So I was going to make his style of knife for this class. I was going to do his style, but knowing that this is just an assignment, and I'm not going to make, you know, Nick's knives.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember at one point I was asking him a question, and he goes, "You're a knife maker. You know what you're doing. You don't need to ask me anything." And I said, "No, I'm here to make your knives. I ain't here to make my knives. I'm here to learn from you. So I'm going to do it the way you do it, and then I'm going to like maybe I might pick up a chip or trick or something like that. But I'm not going to bring it back with me." So I think it's very important to when you take these classes is to, and a lot of times is don't listen to all these guys. A lot of these guys are full of shit too. Like they think that they're the only way to do something. You know, I think that the best thing to do is to take these classes and see how people do things, and maybe you might learn something different, like how you'd use the drill press differently or how you'd hand sand differently, or you might not develop their style, but you might pick up some tricks that might help
some techniques rather than style.
So I think it's a great question, because the funny part is, Jade, is most people don't take any classes. So like you got all these guys who just, you know, they refuse to take any classes. So I'm a fan of taking classes. I'm going down to the Center for Metal Arts in April to teach a class there. And then we have, if you're listening, guys, and you're in Europe and you want to go to, or the UK, and you want to come down the last week of June and the first week of July, I'll be at Florentine Kitchen Knives in beautiful Barcelona, and there's slots available for the 2 weekend classes. So hit up Florentine Kitchen Knives and get your ass down there.
Get on down there.
So. And then we'll teach you some bullshit. We'll teach you how to make like Tomer's knives is what we're going to teach you. So, well, you know, there's a lot of guys who take, there's a lot of guys who've never made knives before, and we get them through the thing. And there's guys who've made knives before, and it's just, what is interesting about that particular class is you do get to see knife making from a different mindset. So that's a really good class.
What's your thought on, because obviously you've taken classes and now you hold classes as well. What's your thoughts on questions from people? Do you like people to just be quiet and this is what we're doing? Or do you like a million questions?
I like questions. I think when it's appropriate. I think sometimes some questions are, I like questions. I mean, I'm happy to answer any question. I don't get too, you know, crazy about it, except for, you know, some people once, you know, they want to get a little funny, and once in a while you get a guy who will just ask a lot of questions. I think about, I don't know if he still listens, my guy Nico, my little Nico down in from Madrid, great guy, awesome knife maker, great blacksmith. He was just at Hereford for a while. I remember he would ask me some questions, and there got to be a point where remember a time I said, I don't like to shit talk people? That was like a little, that wasn't even like 20 minutes ago. So he would ask a million questions, and it got to the point where I said to him, Nico, come on, man. Help me out here. Don't ask it.
Keep on track.
Come on, man. Yeah. And he had a smile on his face. He was a good guy, but I was just like, don't. Just let's, when's enough. So,
yeah, fair enough. Okay, do you want to take the next one from our Gold Star listener?
Oh, Gold Star listener, Paul Jansen says, dilemma time. I got a customer that wants an oddly proportioned knife. I don't know that he'll be happy with the final product, but he insists that that's what he wants. The problem is he said if he likes this one, he wants to do a set of 9. Do I make the specs he requested and hope he likes his design or change it to something that would be a better finished product but not up to his specs? Good question. So he wants, this guy wants him to make this knife, and if he likes it, it's going to potentially be a nice one, but Paul knows that this is some bullshit, and or maybe, you know, finger, you know, quote unquote bullshit, and you know, might get lambasted.
I think that whole thing, oh, if this is good, I'll order another 9. I mean, if that was the case, they just order 10 to begin with. I think that's bollocks. I wouldn't take that as a reason to make it great. You want to make it great anyway. If somebody's giving you a design that you're not happy with, what you've got to remember, I mean, you'll be making this, you'll be putting your name on it, you'll be putting it out there. And if the design is shit, I think, I personally wouldn't. Not so much recently, but I've had plenty of people come into me and say, could you make this exactly like this? And I generally want to step away, because I think that's always a bit of a red flag anyway, because they either want you to make something because they like your work. Otherwise, they can get anybody to do it. You know, if they want this design done, they could go to anybody to do that. And I think, yeah, it probably wouldn't be a good representation of your work if you're not happy from the beginning. But then again, you know, like we always say, you've got to do what you've got to do. You know, but personally, if you could sway him towards, you know, a design of your own where you could take elements of his design and, you know, and sort of communicate why you need to change it and why, you know, if you have that conversation, maybe that could work. But if it's just a case of he's saying this design, will you make this? Personally, I wouldn't.
It's another really interesting conundrum. And the best part is hopefully this is part goes to into experience and then you learn from it. I think that what you said at the end is so true. You can look at something and tell the person, because you're the knife maker, Paul. And he's the designer, or though he's just got some ideas. You can explain why something wasn't going to work. And I've done that a million times where they'll say this, that, the other thing. And I'll say, well, here's why this isn't going to be a good idea. Because, and then you, as long as you're concise, and I hate to say this, but sometimes over the phone is better than emails back and forth. Because sometimes emails back and forth seem as though it's like this slow motion. It's a slow motion conversation that you're trying to seem better than you are. Get on the phone and explain it, and sometimes you can kind of move a little bit quicker. That's my opinion. I say do it, but don't. I say do the one with the thought that it's probably not going to be anything, and then as long as he pays, don't do it unless he pays. Because I'm working on a project now where we've gone back and forth, won another job where the money's in the streets. And this could be the ugliest knife. This guy designed something. I'm not wild about it. However, I'm just like, frankly, I don't care. You know, it's my one of my knives, but the color combinations and the, you know, stencils they're going to get and the whole nine yards thing is like, you know, it's like a... what would you call it? I call it like a chimera almost. But at the same time, it's just like I've said to Allison, we're not doing this until he pays. We're not doing another. There's not going to be one more email until he gets the bill, until he pays the bill. And, you know, that's also the cost of doing business. Like, that's all these things are, you know, we talk about, like, you know, we make it seem like, you know, everything is by the book and everything's black and white. We're living in a gray area and you're just going to have to make a decision. Like, perfect example is we're taking on a couple jobs just because I need to fucking pay some bills. So, like, I'm just going to, you know, do some things that we wouldn't normally do. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we have bills to pay. And you got to do whatever it takes. Stay away from the whole, if I like this one, there's going to be nine more. Have them buy the first one, take some measurements, and then go from there. Because a lot of that time, a lot of that stuff is bullshit. And it also sounds as though he's trying to resell them. That's in my mind. I could be wrong, Paul. But it sounds as if he's designed something and he wants to resell them. So, I mean, nine of the same weird knife. You know, it's just like, what are you going to do?
I also get the vibe of somebody who contacts you with that sort of thing. It's just, they're not going to be easy to deal with anyway. You know, that's I don't know. For me, I'd try and step away if you could. But yeah, the first thing to do is try and communicate to him why you think it wouldn't work. And maybe if you tried this, it could be a bit better and that kind of thing. Because yeah, he's employing you as the expert. That's, think of it that way.
And a problem person in the beginning is usually a problem person to the end.
Yeah.
So it's like always, that's always a red flag. But, you know, you never know. We could be wrong.
We normally are.
We normally are.
I want to tell everybody about TexasFarrierSupply.com. It's that place you can go to get everything you need when you're making knives. I had an issue just this week where I didn't have any bandsaw blades. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, make sure you've got everything in that you need. Get doubles, get spares, keep that productivity high. If you go to TexasFarrierSupply.com, you can get what you need, especially... You know they do the Indusa Rhino-Wet. So if you're there hand sanding without Rhino-Wet, you're just wasting time. Get some Rhino-Wet. They sell it at TexasFarrierSupply.com. Use Knife Talk to get 10% off your order. And that's the entire order, including your Indusa Rhino-Wet. Go take a look. TexasFarrierSupply.com.
Speaking of Rhino-Wet, we have a new system in place that has made hand sanding a million times faster. And I'm grinding the knife, and then I'm finishing it on the disc sander. I'm using Rhino-Wet 220, then I'm bumping down to Rhino-Wet 400, and then Rhino-Wet 800.
On the disc sander?
On the disc sander. We get off the Rhino-Wet 800, and you can skip the 400. You can go from 220 to 800. You hit it with the 800, you're cutting your hand sanding down. And a lot of it's because you're taking off all those raised peaks. We talk about hand sanding is there's peaks and valleys. And when you're looking at a knife, the peaks are the shiny part and the valleys are the dark part. And if you can get those peaks off, then you can hand sand and then you get to the valleys and it's a faster way to change your scratch pattern. So ain't nothing better than Rhino Wet. Nothing. Ain't nothing better than that.
Ain't nothing better. There we go. Okay, where are we?
Justin Stout.
He's got beef. Beef in Stout. Okay, he's got beef. I know I'm late, but I don't care. My website service, you won't name them, but it rhymes with Fairface, shut down my online store earlier this week. There was a hold on my payment account and it said to contact support. He said I had a bugger of a time getting it linked to my bank account, so I figured it was about that. I put in a support ticket, and they emailed me the next day saying that I violated their terms, so they're stopping me from taking any more payments. They won't tell me what rule I violated, and there's no appeals process. The internet seems to think it's because I'm selling knives, but I know a ton of knife makers use Squarespace, so I'm really confused. I was going to just cancel my subscription and move on, but then they had the audacity to email me a survey about my experiences with customer support. Oh, Justin... So I told them to gargle my balls. Disrespectfully, Justin Stout.
Gargle my balls.
It was going
balls.
So well, Justin, until then. And I'm now starting to think maybe that first interaction with them, you pissed them right off and they're thinking, right, okay.
Gargle my balls. Oh, all of a sudden my Squarespace isn't working. What the fuck? I wonder what happened.
I mean, it is Squarespace. I mean, there's no getting away from
it. Said it.
Yeah, well, he said fair face, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd say 50% or more of the knife makers' websites that I see are probably Squarespace. So there's plenty of other knife makers using Squarespace, including myself. So, it's one of those things, isn't it, where if you don't own the platform, they can do what they like. We're all at the mercy of these platforms, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything specific in their T's and C's about, you know, knives being sold. I don't think so. But yeah, if they're not even telling you what you violated, I think you've just pissed them off, Justin.
No, you know what? I wonder. I was trying to find his Instagram. I'm wondering where his location is. He is in, I don't know where the hell he is. Muncie. I think he's in Indiana. Yeah, I think he's really in Indiana, alone, yeah. So New York. At first I thought maybe it was because he was in the UK or something and there was something weird. I use Squarespace. I don't use it anymore. Now I'm on Shopify and I haven't had any problems. I know a number of years ago when we were trying to get insurance, we were having a real hell of a time because there was a lot of words like bushcraft and hunting and all this stuff. There may be some, you know, AI software that kind of like searches, because I was listening to that guy from Instagram who was talking about why things are shadow banned, and he was saying that, you know, they have software that kind of like goes through to see if basically they don't necessarily want to promote something that might be go against their guidelines. So yeah. Squarespace might be using software, and if you have some buzzwords that maybe kind of go against their thing, I don't know, because we got rid of all those. Like, we don't say bushcraft and all these because the insurance companies were like looking at our website, they're like, we're not going to insure you. And we just kind of made a concerted effort. We've never had a problem with using PayPal but at the same time, I know that a lot of people have. I think that
it's interesting, actually, because Justin does say that they didn't take the website down. They just stopped in taking payments.
Right.
So I'm wondering whether you're using Squarespace payments or Stripe or PayPal, whether it's one of those specifically. Have you tried using a different payment provider? Because you can choose who you want to use. It'd be interesting because it may well be that provider. But if you're using Squarespace payments, which basically uses Stripe anyway, it may just be Squarespace pulling it anyway. I don't know. You know, difficult situation there. If they won't tell you what you violated, how can you move on? You know, that's a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, you know, things are changing so rapidly, and you know, I remember when I had our friend Aaron Goff on. He said it's not AI, it's deep learning software, and he kind of described it as, you know, it's not perfect, it's not intelligence, it's deep learn, it's constantly learning, so it makes a lot of mistakes. And then, you know, at the same time, it's like, how do we resolve these mistakes? Because there isn't usually in these situations, there isn't someone to talk to. And, you know, like Instagram's the same way. I don't know nobody to talk to. And, you know, you're kind of at a standstill. I think that Craig is right. And I think that you need to figure out something else. I wish we were back to using checks. I mean, my business partner, Tony, always likes it when we get a check because no one takes a piece. If you send it, that all these PayPal, I used to make jokes that PayPal owes me a fruit basket every Christmas because, I mean, they take so much. I mean, you know how it is. They take so much.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like there's not a lot of customer service, but they take so much. And it's just like if we can get a check or a bank order or something like that, life is so much easier. But, you know, that's old person talking right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's maybe another reason to start, you know, tell more people to use newsletters, and then you can maybe, you know, start email conversations. So, you know, you're taking it off the website kind of thing. But yeah, if it's the payment provider that's making the issue, you're still going to have an issue unless you're doing direct bank payments and all the rest of it. Let us know how you get on, Justin, that's one that I'm sure will affect more people as time gets on as well, to be honest with you.
I mean, this is not a new story. This is like, we hear people say this all the time. I, you know, like I said, I think that they're probably buzzwords that these algorithms are like seeing, and they're just like, you're red flagged. And then they're just like, maybe it's just, they're trying to make sure you're not a liability. You know?
Yeah.
So,
and I see sometimes you see posts people putting on, you know, This will slip through a heart, you know. And the language people use sometimes, you mean dial it back a bit, you know, because
you
said, you know, that they'll be scanning all the text and stuff on a website, and if you're using certain things, which may be a bit tongue in cheek anyway, but you know, it doesn't know that, and they may think, fuck this, we're not putting up with this, let's just pull it.
And can we bring back how stupid it is when people refer to them having a waffle instead of a raffle? It's like that's an old that old chestnut we talked about years ago. People think that if you say waffle instead of raffle, that's some fucking bullshit loophole. Come on, guys. Come on, fuck. You could use ChatGPT to find a different word for raffle that would probably be better than waffle. Having a waffle, guys. Fuck
naps out
of here.
Instead of knives when they were selling because they didn't want the knives word to be used.
I thought people were reading naps because it was supposed to be like written out like Southern drawl. Like, I like them naps. When people write out the way they speak, you know who does that? Yeah. Mareko writes the way he speaks. You get emails. He'll get a message on our group chats. He says Y-O-U. Yeah, I got you.
Yes, he does.
To the point where I'm very tempted to ask him if he knows how to spell you. You know, like, how are you? Because I'm thinking maybe he doesn't know. But people like to write out how they speak, you know?
Yeah, you can hear their voice as you read it back. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That was okay. Good. Okay. Jeff, tell me about your grinder. Oh,
I got the Broadback Ironworks. You kidding me?
Of course.
Stuff is awesome. The Broadback Ironworks is awesome. You go to broadbackironworks.com. You put in the promo code KNIFETALK10. You get 10% off everything, all their packages, all their attachments. They have great stuff. And I think if you're in the Ohio area, I think they might be hiring. So if you're looking for a job at a great company, go to broadbackironworks.com. Send our man Ben Seacrest an email. Or DM or something like that. They're looking for people, and it is a great company. And I love my Broadbacks. I just love them. I think they're really, really great. So if you're a knife maker or you're just trying to remove material, this is the one for you. Broadbackironworks.com.
Yeah. Ohio, not Utah.
Yeah, Ohio, not Utah. That's a deep cut, too. Last week. We got a lot of stuff to take care of. We have listener feedback. We have birthday shout-outs, and we have listener prank stories.
Oh, let's do birthdays.
Okay. Birthdays, guys. We're sending out the birthday, everybody.
Valentine's shout out next week.
Valentine's shout out next week. Our first birthday shout out comes from our boy, Brigham Kindell. Brigham Kindell says, happy birthday to Neil at Maximus Knives. Love, Buster Cherry. Buster Cherry. Brigham Kindell.
Happy birthday, Neil.
Happy birthday, Neil, Maximus Knives. Howdy. We got a beard on. You're not that old. You're not that old. Maybe you look older than you are. Who knows? Next one is from our friend Manny Fernandez, 858. I want to congratulate my closest and dearest friend, my lovely wife, for achieving this milestone in her illustrious life. Through tears and the fun, we held each other as one. Please give my sincerest birthday wishes to my dearest partner. Happy birthday, Iris Maya Dixon. So, happy birthday to Iris. Manny loves you.
like a Hallmark reading.
I know. I'll take it, man. You want to say your birthday wishes, I'll wish you happy birthday to whoever you want. I love it.
Brilliant.
I love it.
Brilliant.
Fucking great. We have listener prank stories, listener feedback.
Let's do a prank.
All right. So, last week, we were talking about pranks that we had. Mareko and Craig has never had pranks pulled on them, or they've been never even seen a prank before. And I told my wife about, we were walking the dogs, and I said, you know, I was talking about how you pranked me. And you hired someone to do pretend to be a health inspector, come down our bakery and fucking rattle my cage. And she was telling me how scared she was because this was before like the internet. So she had to find a fucking actor in the yellow pages.
Jeez.
And then they were like so excited to like, they had to research the part, and they went down, and the whole thing was hilarious. And she's sitting in the office thinking, oh, Jeff's going to kill me. You're going to kill me. So here's one comes from Coda Blade Company. Here's a prank. This didn't happen to me, but in an office where I was working, there's two sides to the office. One side has an open community workspace, and the other side has small offices that were enclosed where the director worked and could close their doors for more private conversations and whatnot. The open side had a bathroom that lots of people used, but the quieter side of the office also had a bathroom that didn't get used as much. Does this make sense so far?
Yeah. Okay.
That's where all the guys would go when they really needed to drop a bomb so the rest of the coworker space wouldn't have to hear or smell it. The office had a drop ceiling, so one of my buddies got in there, took the AC duct that ran into the director's office and disconnected it from the AC unit. He hooked it up to the exhaust fan in the bathroom, so instead of blowing cold air conditioning into his office, every time someone dropped a massive deuce and turned on the bathroom fan, it blew that shit air directly into the director's office. It was virtually untraceable to anyone that was happening, unless you knew about it, and it was absolutely freaking hilarious to everyone who knew what was happening. The dude is an office legend now.
Genius.
Genius. I would fire everyone. There wouldn't be... I read this and I was just like, God, what a fucking prick thing to say, and then prick thing to do. And then I thought, and he's doing all this duck work on the boss's dime. That would drive me the most crazy. You're doing this elaborate fucking duck work prank, like on office hours. Oh my God, I am fucking killing everybody. Brilliant. Paul Jansen. Paul Jansen, Gold Star listener, says, Here's a prank. I had a family member worried that they would be targeted with anthrax back during the anthrax letter attacks to the point, to the point where they were paranoid at anything out of the ordinary. My grandpa decided to prank him with a letter that had no return address and felt as though there was something in it. Relative was so freaked out, they had the letter x-rayed to see what the mystery letter was. It ended up, my grandpa sent him an envelope full of toenail clippings.
Your grandpa's toenail clippings.
What a fucking savage. What a fucking crazy thing to do. What a crazy thing to do.
I'm guessing he did plenty more as well, not just this one off.
And you know, he holding on to them. You know that it was like, it wasn't just 10 toenail clippings. He probably held on to them for a while. Grandpa is a son of a bitch. Jesus Christ.
Old, brittle old man toenails.
Let's try to hatch the plan. Hey, do you hear Aunt Irma? She got nervous. She's nervous about the mail. Why do you say that? Well, she's worried about anthrax. Well, what's she so worried about? Knowing an anthrax, that old bat. Don't worry about that.
I've got an idea.
I got an idea. Oh, yeah, what's that? We should pretend that we're going to send something as fake anthrax. Oh, yeah, what should we use? Should we use some cornstarch? Should we use some flour? No, I got a better idea. Oh, yeah, what's that, Grandpa? Fucking toenail clippings. What a fucking weird thing to do. That is
brilliant.
Legitimately one of the most disturbing things. Can you imagine if they found out? Well, what was it? It was toenail clippings. Who sent it? Grandpa. Into the fucking nursing home. Grandpa, you got to go. How funny is that?
That's amazing.
American Warrior Forge says, all right, boys, I was listening to the latest episode with a bit about pranks, and it really got me. I've played plenty of pranks in my day, but asking brand new army soldiers to get me an exhaust sample to classic jump scares. But one prank, I don't know what that means. One prank really stands out. I'm in law enforcement, and long before body cameras were a thing, we were serving a search warrant and came across a giant purple dildo, complete with ball sack and everything. We called another officer by name, throwing the monstrous rubber dong at the same time. It slapped him square in the face, and he was turning to see who was talking to him. I damn near pissed my pants. I was laughing so hard. I can still see that giant purple penis flipping and flopping in slow motion as it soared through the air and hit him in the face. It made his cheek priceless.
Jesus,
fucking law! Can you imagine, law enforcement guys are providing a search warrant and they're fucking finding dongs and throwing them at each other. And these are probably used.
Oh man!
And last but certainly not least, our friend Brigham Kindell, Gold Star listener. A good prank that would happen in the machine shop I worked in was clipping someone's belt to the forklift and lifting them up into the air 15 to 20 feet until someone's belt broke, but they were okay.
Oh, geez.
So send in your pranks. If you can beat Toenail Grandpa.
Toenails are the one to beat.
Yeah, you got to beat Toenail Grandpa if you're going to... I mean, Dong was good, but I mean, if Toenail Grandpa wasn't there, Dong would have won. But I mean...
Dong was good. We got so many titles for this week. So let me...
Don't say Dong was good. We're going to lose more sponsors. We can't lose any more sponsors.
So we've got, right? We got a choice. We've got the syphilis of tools. Money on the streets.
Money on the streets is good.
Based in the Lamb.
Based in the Lamb's
Dong
good.
Was good.
Oh, boy. Those are fucking good ones. Those are fucking good ones. Dong
any of them could have been any other week.
Dong was good. But Dong was good. It was good. Ah, they're all good. I'll leave it to you. You know what to do. So guys, you got to beat Grandpa's toenail clippings if you want to. You ain't going to get a laugh like that out of us. You got to work. You got to work hard on that. So
imagine him waking up every day and looking to the size of his toenails. Are they big enough? And have a little chuckle to himself, thinking, in 3 months' time, this is going to be great.
I think that is so disgusting that I just he collected them. Yeah. And, oh, God.
Yeah.
Terrible. Can you imagine the look on the person's face after he came back from the x-ray? What? Yeah, somebody sent you toenail clippings, you fucking asshole. They got their hazmat suits on because they think it's anthrax, and it turns out to be Grandpa's fucking toenail clippings. So we got listener feedback, and we got more questions, whenever you want.
Okay, we'll do some feedback, but first of all, I want to tell everybody all about Dharmasteel. We've been working with them for years now. They make the best stainless Damascus-style steel out there. Lovely, beautiful, beautiful patterns. And if you go to dharmasteel.sc, you'll see, because they photograph them. They repeat them so well, so you know what you're getting each time. Super, super easy to use. And what I'd recommend everybody do is go to dharmasteelab on Instagram. You can see the kind of stuff people are making with Dharmasteel. It's always special, always really special. So if you've got a special piece to make, or you want to start making a higher end line of what you're making, whatever it may be, Dharmasteel's the stuff to use. We can get you a discount. You can get 10% off if you use Knife Talk at checkout as a promo code. So head on over to dharmasteel.se and go get some good stuff. Okay, what have we got?
We have listener feedback. If you want to send us some listener feedback, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. We were talking last week and the week before about our friend J Mod Knives. Justin Modica had put a forge on the outside of his house, and then he made a hole from the inside, so
the glory hole,
so he could stick his tongs through the house and do his thing outside. So basically, he showed us what it looked like. We were concerned that he wouldn't be able to see the propane because the wall's there, So he wrote. So I think we have figured out how to keep an eye on the forge being outside. Baby monitor, smart or dumb? He wants to know, smart or dumb. So it's a baby monitor. I mean,
it's getting more and more intricate each week.
This is turning into a real Rube Goldberg situation. You know about Rube Goldberg?
No.
There was this person, this inventor, who used to make these just wasteful Rube Goldberg. Invention was this stupid ass invention that was just like mousetrap bullshit, completely, just a, so when you, it's a bullshit basically.
I know what you mean. Yeah. There's a really famous British maker used to do that kind of thing as well. I can't think of who they are, but I know what you mean. These really intricate sort of mechanical systems.
Overthinking really it and it's just not happening and stuff like that. So I mean, look, J-Mod, just don't burn your fucking house down. Or you could just put a window in or something like that. I don't know. You can do whatever you want. Just keep your eyes on everything. That's the one thing is when it comes to forges, they're so goddamn hot and there's so much heat and there's so much power and there's so much problems that could happen. You just want to make sure that you and your family are safe. That's all. I don't mean to give you trouble. You're smart. You're not dumb. But it's sometimes we get a little too clever and we wonder if this is the right thing or not. So
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Next one comes from our friend Littleton Supply Co. That's our friend George. Greetings, fellas. Here's a hot tip slash suggestion for the guys trying to figure out serrations. We get a lot of people wanting to know how to make the serrations right. These, you can get knives at the Dollar Tree store for $1.25, which are perfect for experimenting with profiles and grinds. These would be perfect for figuring out your serrations, and they're dirt cheap. You fuck up? No big deal. It was $1.25, and you little cheap bastard. Try and figure it out. Sincerely, Dixon Djibouti.
Dixon Djibouti.
Dixon Djibouti. Jesus Christ. I love those fucking names. The name didn't get better. Dixon Djibouti.
We've mentioned this before, haven't we? Just using just cheaper steels and stuff to practice on. It doesn't have to be, your finest, speciality knife steels, right, to be practicing on. Oh, yeah, just go and get some cheap knives too, yeah.
Getting cheap knives is really good, but the one thing is for figuring out serrations, the best thing you can do, the easiest thing you can do is get a serrated knife and study it and take your measurements and try to think about it. And you put it up to contact wheels and say, what do you think my spacing is? And we're overcomplicating these serrated knives, and it's like, it's not hard to do. The one thing is you do want to practice a lot, and you also want to practice on, how it cuts too, because, I've seen some like wacko, it's like, you can't use like a saw blade. A saw blade is not the same as a serrated knife. It's not just teeth. It's at an angle. It's a good situation. All right. Trails Edge Knives says, here's my take on making knives in the winter. I prefer it. I live in northern Canada, and the last while it averaged around negative 30 C, which is negative 22 F, negative 22 Fahrenheit. That is crazy. I like it as I can fill my water bucket with snow to keep my blades cool while grinding, and I can also cool my aluminum plates super quickly in between rounds of heat treating. The shop has a wood stove, so it's good and warm in the shop itself. I wouldn't be able to function.
No, that's, I find it when it gets to freezing, my joints, now I'm like an old man. My joints now, they're just like, ache. They get off to even get out of bed, they're aching, and just like, oh man, alive. Minus 30 C. Jesus Christ.
I can't imagine. I remember right before it got really cold here, our furnace went down, and I insulated this place, and it was like just below, 40. It was around between 38 and 40 degrees. And I was used to it when I was younger. I had shops where it was unheated, and that was like the boss would tell you, you don't understand, and we work like this, and you got to be a man, and the heat's in the tools and all this. I swear to God, it was impossible to work, and to the point where I ran out and got electric heaters until we were able to get the heater. But I got the heat on, and it's so hard to work when it's that cold.
Yeah,
it's hard to get anything done like productively. And I just remember the stress, and I would make mistakes. Like I felt very bad about it. I hated it when it was cold. I hated it when it was cold. And thinking about how you constantly just trying to keep the place warm and. Too much. All right. Double Dog Forge. I listened to this week's episode while I was in the shop today, so thanks for responding to my question. To clarify, I'm not looking to go full time. I'm a teacher by day, unless we have snow days. I was wondering if there was anything obvious I may be missing to be more businesslike. The question he had asked a couple weeks ago was, I'm trying to be as businesslike as possible. What should I do? And then he basically was saying, the discussion on customer service definitely hit home. I really appreciate the advice. So we were kind of talking about what are some of the things that are really important in regards to trying to create a business. And we could kind of
being businesslike. That's
well,
that phrase. I think we've got an advantage in most of us because we work for, this guy, he does this as sort of on the side as well. So again, it's still an advantage that you don't necessarily have to be business-like, as in sort of corporate business. I think you can be more approachable and you can be more tailored to what people want. You don't have to be so rigid. I'm not quite sure what he means by business-like. I mean,
well, I think he just wanted to run his knife shop like a regular business as opposed to, let's settle this up in the DMs. You know, I think that he wanted to be able to
more
streamlined. Okay. More streamlined in terms of, you know, like stepping up a bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've already mentioned Squarespace earlier, and some people maybe have more problems than I realized. But most sort of web package things now, I mean, they're not just website makers now, these websites. You know, they've all got accounting systems on them, and, you know, you can keep full details of all your customers all in one, like a CRM as well, all in one place. Most of them have all these services now, so whether you're using Squarespace or, you know, Step Up would be Shopify, and that, you know, even Wix and all those now, they've all got systems where it's a bunch of software in one. It's not just the website that people see. So if you need to invoice people, you can do it. So, it all just seems a lot more professional. Your accounting is all there as well. You know where everything is. I'd say that's probably a massive step for anybody to do. They don't have to be expensive. And you can really just, streamline things and know where you are, know what orders you've got in, what's been shipped, who your customers are, all the contact details. Everything's all in one place, your invoicing. I think that goes a long way to becoming a lot more business-like, as opposed to, you know, post-its all around the shop. You know,
I'll tell you one thing, that there's no right or wrong answer, but I'll tell you my day today, my normal day, and it's not like what you'd expect. You know, I get here, and one of the things I need to do is I need to make sure that my guy is ready to work and he has stuff ahead. Like, sometimes there's things that that he can do without me being there, but there's a lot of stuff I need to, you know, I want to be prepared for him. So I'm working ahead of the people who are in my shop. I'm also working ahead of the people in the office. I'm also working ahead. So my first part of the day is usually just kind of getting, thinking and working on stuff we need to do. And then I'm getting messages from, in terms of, people that I have to see, or meetings that I have to do, or emails I might have to send. And then there's all of a sudden we have to have pictures to take. So I was doing some pictures, and I had to upload the pictures, and I had to take measurements and all this stuff. And there's no right or wrong, but the most important part about being in business is being ahead of everybody else and being the leader that you need to be. And then also steer clear of just the whole doing business in the DMs, just steer clear of that. And that would be one. It's a great way to converse with people, but it's just, social media is a huge, there is a lot of it is a waste of time. A lot of it is like, you're wasting your time wasting. And it's a time suck here. And you just got to like prioritize what needs to happen and also put fires out. That's the most important thing.
I think social media made it convenient for everybody to reach out to people. Right. And quite often when they wouldn't normally reach out, I think there's a lot of the time. So it is just field in a lot of stuff, which are not potentially money making.
Well, that's okay. You know, you can't make money off everything. So Tomer at Florentine Kitchen Knives, and I were talking about trying to like start to really promote the classes again for the summer. And I started promoting, you know, I'm only teaching in two places. I go to Florentine Kitchen Knives, and I go to the CMA. That's it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing class at the shop. I'm not doing anything. This is it. So I post up, join me in Barcelona. Guy slips into my DMs. And part of me also tries to answer questions. I don't want to be in one of these guys who like doesn't respond to people. This guy writes, "Oh, are you teaching classes?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm teaching classes here in Barcelona, and I'm teaching them in Pennsylvania." And he goes, "Well, what about New York?" I'm like, no, I don't teach classes in New York. "Oh, well, what about New York City?" And I'm like, I fucking just told you what. Some of these guys are just like, they want some sort of rapport. And I'm just like, no, it doesn't say that anywhere. And I'm telling you that. And when you ask me again, it's wasteful. So you're going to deal with people like that. And you're going to be tire kickers. And people ask you a million questions. And then they're going to say, "Oh, I wish I had the money to get you one of your knives." And next thing you know, you've spent like fucking too many emails and messages, you know, for playing. And
Right. Should we tell everybody about what Lawrence does down at Maritime Knife Supply?
Lawrence is unbelievable. Lawrence is also trying to get you to come to Blade Show. We can talk about that. But Lawrence is unbelievable.
We need to talk about, because I've had two messages from different people this week offering to buy me flights,
all right,
which is bizarre. But yeah, let's talk about what Lawrence does.
Lawrence Lake has Maritime Knife Supply, which is your one-stop shop for knife makers to get stocked or resupplied. They have great, it's a great resource if you're in Canada or the United States. And he's got everything. Belts, abrasives, steels, kilns, forges, press, heat treating gums, all that stuff. It's in nobody's better. He's a great guy, and if there's something that you think that he could he would like, he'll get it. He's really he's a facilitator. He and I were having a conversation. He's an unbelievable facilitator. He works with all these guys. He's just terrific. And if you go to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com and you'll get a 10-pack of abrasive belts when you buy them. And now sometimes people write and they'll say, well, what's the promo code for Maritime Knife Supply? His prices are very, very good. And he always says to me, if you want me to do a promo code, I got to raise the price on everything. I can't, my margins are too, you know, he's giving you the best he can. His service is awesome. His customer service is incredible. Everything's really great. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. And if you're going to get some belts, get the Norton Razor Stars. I love these belts. They're really great. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. And he wants you to, he said, I want to give Craig to Blade Show.
Hmm.
So who are these people who want you to come besides Lawrence Lake and everybody else?
So you told me about that, and I had another message this week, and let's see if I can find it now. I won't say who it's from, because I don't want to sort of, I don't think it'd be embarrassing them, but I don't want to sort of out them, I suppose. Trying to get me to make a camp. Saying, we'll sort out flights and all that for you. And I'm like, well, Jesus Christ. I really do appreciate it, but it's not just the flight. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'd have to leave my family, and you know, it's a lot. It's a long way to come. It rule out you know, a lot of time for me, and quite frankly, I don't want to be camping with a bunch of long-haired, skirted knife makers. It's not my thing.
Oh man, you mean a maker camp? I get you. I don't blame you.
No, it's very, very kind. I'm joking. It's very, very kind of everybody. But honestly, I couldn't take up any offers like that. It's incredibly kind. Thank
when I go to Blade Show, and I'll be there. I mean, Lawrence, don't worry about him. I'm with you. Everybody would ask, "Where's Craig? When's Craig going to come? How are we going to get Craig here?" There's a lot of people who want you to come to Blade Show. That's for sure. But I understand.
I mean, if we were to do something and make a thing of it, I think maybe we could do something, you know, down the line. But
here's the problem: I can't do 24 hours in Blade Show. I got a special deal where I fly in the morning, I leave at night. There ain't no much different than that. But
yeah, and I don't know what value I'd bring by being there. I mean, this is all I've got. Being on this call once a week. This is all I've got, basically, you know. But honestly, thank you all so much. It's very nice to hear that we're appreciated.
We are appreciated. We get a lot. You have no idea. You have no idea how many people send me messages saying, or when I meet them, they're like, I listen to Knife Talk. I listen to all the podcasts, and I'm done listening to people's podcasts. I only listen back to this one just to kind of hear what, you know, was said and how, you know, what we can do better. I listen to Full Blast just to make sure it sounds okay. And then that's it on Maker. I don't listen to anybody else's Maker podcast. So
yeah, I'm done. I don't anymore. Actually, I used to listen to a whole bunch, but it's true crime. True crime for me. That's all it is.
I cannot handle the maker community podcasts who start talking about making stuff, and then it bridges into social things and things that they really have very little information about. And I don't pretend to know this stuff. Even when we talked about that knife thing in the beginning of the show, we've bridged upon it, but we're not telling you how to live your life. And I hear some of these guys and I just feel like, you motherfucker don't know what you're talking about. And I don't know why I'm not listening to you anymore, because you're full of shit. So I'm done with them all. Respectfully, everybody, respectfully.
respectfully, you know, you don't mean to base their lamb.
I'm lambing their base, baby.
With that, should we call the show? Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it, and we will be back again next week. Bye bye for now. Is Morocco back next week?
He should be.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Right, we've had Super Bowl, isn't it, this
weekend? Yeah, Super Bowl's this weekend. Super Bowl this Sunday. Yeah. So
yes.
I think that you're gonna take the whole thing. I mean, both Mareko and I said that it was gonna be the Eagles. And I am so glad I don't bet. Betting now in the United States is so big. And now all these website, all these apps are saying, oh, we'll give you money to fill around with. I am terrible at picking winners. I'm legitimately terrible, to the point where I was saying to my wife, I'm like, I am so glad I don't bet, because I know that I bet with my heart, not with my head. I fucking am terrible. You ever do any betting?
Yeah. I do, like, maybe once a year. Like, let's say we're all out with friends to watch like a rugby game for the Six Nations or something like that. We literally put like £5 on or something like that, just to make it interesting, you know. I'm not a gambler.
But I don't know. I don't understand. I kind of understand what a parlay is, and it's like three bets. You have to win all three bets to win the parlay. Yeah. And I know. I understand. I don't know enough. Like, I listen to so much radio and I watch so much sports, and when they talk about the betting line, and this guy's plus 125. I don't understand it. And part of me is just like, I should learn what this means. And then I think to myself, no. Because this
is a dangerous route to go down.
This is not where you need to be spending your time and energy. I listen to you want to hear something crazy. I listen to this one. There's this one gambling addicts radio show. It's every Saturday at 10, and I listen to it because I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated, and these people, they tell their stories of addiction. And the crazy part is. You know, when you hear or know people who have alcohol addiction or drug addiction, you'll usually hear the years and years and years before it became a problem. Gambling addiction, you fucking ruin your life in like weeks. I hear these motherfuckers and they're just like, I started going to Atlantic City on the weekends, and then I started leaving my work, and then all of a sudden I used to live down there. And these guys go from having a normal life to selling everything in their world and losing everything and going to jail and embezzlement and all this stuff. It's crazy, crazy. Yeah. So I don't do any of it. Fuck that.
No, too dangerous. Right. With that, thank you all again for listening. We shall speak to you next week. Bye for now. Good luck with the Super Bowl. Bye for now.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.